Welcome to WGCL. This is Glass in the Afternoon, and as we do annually, tonight we are going to send it over to our friends at Avers Public House, Joe Smith and Kit Klingelhofer, a special presentation. The Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame announcement show starts right now with Hall of Famer Joe Smith.
Well, thank you, Glass, and good evening, everyone. And certainly always one of the highlights on the local sports beat in the month of February to announce the 10-member class into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, the 13th class to be enshrined on Friday night, July the 14th at the Convention Center. Behind the capable handling of President David Hayes, his board of directors, the volume of increasing contributing sponsors, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame functions as it did from day one, taking us all the way back to 2011. Its mission, very simple, to support and honor the legacy left behind by top-tier athletes, their coaches that coached them, and contributors, which we will add to tonight, announcing this class of 2023, bringing us to 137 enshrined through the years. And with that as our Tuesday night backdrop, hi again, everyone. Joe Smith live from Avers Public House here on College Mall Road, along with our on-site producer, Noah Jordan. Mike Glasscott high atop our One City Center studios downtown, taking care of the controls as our studio engineer. We crack open this year's treasure chest, as I always refer to it, of six athletes, two coaches, and two contributors, our class of 2023. Joined tonight by my sidekick, former president and still board member of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, Kit Klingelhofer. And you know, Kit, names obviously change, but the mission made by this class and really going all the way back, listing all of our classes, the achievements, the contributions, just adding more prestige and a true testament as to the rich quality that we've seen grow here over the decades.
No question, Joe, and it's good to be back with you. I feel like we've done this a time or two. And first thing I want to do is shout out to Chris Kaiser, who's the manager and the owner of Avers here, for hosting us tonight. Appreciate that. And we got three of our inductees are going to be going into the hall on the 14th of July. But it is another great class. It's so hard every year. You know, this is a three-month process we go through. And we have one board meeting a month that takes 3 months to get through with initial list of candidates. Then we kind of cut it to semifinalists. And then on the final night, we pick the class. And it doesn't get any easier. You know, it's very difficult every year. So many great athletes in this county, great coaches. So many people have contributed to sports in this county. And like you said, this is one of Bloomington's highlights every summer.
Well, too, you've added some new board members. It's been a strong cast of board members since 2011. Gosh, we got to thank in the whole inkling of the whole concept, if you will, of the Monroe County Board, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, thought up by Lynn Hauser and Greer Werner when they were doing some yard work in 09. It became reality in 11. But the men behind the scenes, the men and women, Kit, that you've worked with, that David is currently working with, and it's great to see, again, some new members coming on board helping you out this year.
It is. We Ralph Siebold, who was athletic director and coach at Bloomington North for many years, came on the board. Nick Jenkinson is also a new board member this year, so we have two new board members, and actually my wife, Rita Klingelhofer, is on as a treasurer right now. And so we've added some to the board. We've lost a couple of members like yourself. You know, you've served your term. You said you were ready to be done, but you're going to continue like the show, and you're going to continue to MC our banquet. And we couldn't do it without you because you do such a great job. One other mention I do need to say about tonight, too, Joe. You know, David Hayes is our president, which you mentioned. He would be here. His mother passed away a couple days ago, and visitation was today and funeral tomorrow, so obviously he was not able to attend.
Our thoughts and prayers out with David and his family on the passing of his mother, Ray, and as Kit mentioned, the funeral services tomorrow over in Ellettsville. We'll be back and talk athletes. We'll talk shop with our first athlete going in, one of six, and then our two coaches, and then our two contributors. You're listening to the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame Announcement Show, the 10-member class of 2023, right here on Bloomington's Voice, 98.7 AM 1370 WGCL. We're live from Avers Public House. Welcome back, everyone, to Avers Public House here on College Mall Road, along with our producer, Noah Jordan, on site. Mike Lascott, high atop our One City Center studios downtown. Kit Klingelhofer, board member of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, alongside. And Kit, before we introduce the first of six athletes, you know, one thing we've always taken pride on during the decade run plus, the number of sports athletes. I mean, this county, per capita wise, we take a backseat to no one. With this, as I've always referred to it, as a yearly treasure chest of names that have stood out, not only on the high school beat, but the collegiate level as well, Indiana University. But the number of different sports really says a lot about the variety, the flexibility that really we've had to work with.
No question, Joe. We've both said it. I mean, we'd compare this county athlete-wise to just about anyone in the state. And, you know, there are seven Olympians who are in our Hall of Fame. And when you talk about diversity of sports, for example, you have Missy Schwinn, who was a rower. You have Jill Watson, who was in the Olympics as a figure skater. I mean, and so, yeah. I mean, that just, again, outside the box with those sports and three different sports tonight with our six athletes, it's been diversified every year. And we're, like, again, so blessed to have so many different sports, different athletes from different sports.
And as we mentioned right at the top, with the inclusion of these again going in on July 14th at the Convention Center, our numbers will swell to 137 over the years, and that includes the Pioneer class that we put in a couple of years ago. Let's get right to it tonight. Our announcement show on our leadoff spot. He wore number 32 for the red and black out in Ellisville at EHS Edgewood High School, class of 2008. Garrett Butcher, 6'7" forward, who finished a four-year career as this county's all-time leading scorer with over 1,800 points and second leading rebounder as well. Member of four conference champions and three sectional champions for Jay Brown, his coach in high school. His junior year saw the Mustangs post the state's only unbeaten regular season record and a number one ranking in Class 3A, scored 38 in a win over Bloomington South. His senior year, he scored a game-winning basket to beat Ty Zeller in the Washington Hatchets, cementing the Mustangs' number one ranking that year. And he led this basketball program, well, you name it, and his name is associated with a lot of records. He led the Mustangs to that big upset of Class 4A number one Marion when the two teams played on the parquet hardwood at Chrysler High Gym in Newcastle, the Hall of Fame tournament back on a December afternoon. He scored 635 points in his senior season, averaging over 25 points a ball game, the second most points in a single season in county history. Edgewood records, we can just start to list them. Games played, 94. The wins that he led the Mustangs to, 74. Single game points, 43. That was later broken, but games in double figures, 84. Games in double-digit rebounds, 39, and he had 37 double-doubles. And free throws made and attempted also belong to Garrett Butcher. He was named the Core 6 player for the Junior All-Star team and Indiana All-Star his senior year, which made us all proud. Edgewood's lone All-Star, I might make mention. He accepted a full ride to Butler U and was a member of the Bulldogs' back-to-back memorable NCAA runner-up games of 2010-11 under Coach Brad Stevens. He overcame his bit of adversity as well throughout his career, two knee surgeries, but he was named Butler's team captain in 2011-2012. He is currently the managing partner of Simply Driven Executive Search, an Indianapolis search firm. He lives there with his family, I tell you, we'll talk to him in a second, but a nice round of applause for our first athlete, Garrett Butcher, class of 2008, Edgewood High School. Here's another young man I enjoyed watching compete, not only on the high school level at Bloomington South, but for Sam Bell, the great Sam Bell at track Indiana University. Dan Burton, class of 1985 track and field. He set a meet record at 16-2 in winning the state pole vault champion as a senior. He cleared 16-10, by the way, in high school. He was state runner-up as a sophomore, so you knew his way was going to be up and away. And at IU, well, he was the Big Ten outdoor champion in 1990. Six-time NCAA finalists indoors and outdoors with a personal best of 18.5, Indiana's second best heights in indoors and outdoors at the time of graduation. And Dan Burton, also a 1992 Olympic trials qualifier. He'll be enshrined on Friday night, July the 14th. Would you please meet and greet Dan Burton in here tonight at Aber's Public House? Represented by his parents, I tell you, this young man currently lives out in Denver, Colorado. And our next inductee will be Ben Chappell, Bloomington South, class of 2007, football and basketball. Of course, we remember back many, many times broadcasting his games, watching him grow up, an all-state quarterback. He passed for over 2,300 yards and 27 touchdowns as a senior, including a school record 6-30 through a game. Pike on one Friday evening, MVP of the North-South All-Star Game. He also earned academic All-State honors, a four-year basketball letterman as well. He received a football scholarship, though, to IU and became a two-time team captain and MVP of the football Hoosiers back in 2010. Ben was just as smart with his tools, throwing the football and leading football Hoosiers as he was in the classroom, a four-time academic All-Big Ten. Ben, when it was all said and done, threw for over 7,200 yards and 45 touchdowns, and currently both of those marks rank third on Indiana's career list. His 3,295 yards in 2010. He threw for 2,900 yards in 2009, ranking third and fifth on the all-time IU list. And I can remember one afternoon against the Maize and Blue of Michigan. Back in 2010, he threw for 480 yards, third highest single game total in IU history. And Ben Chappell, to this day, holds Indiana records for passing attempts, single game, and season records. He signed with the Washington Redskins in 2011. Now a successful businessman out in Denver, Colorado. Not here, but his parents are. Please greet the Chappells here and welcome their son, Ben Chappell. Bloomington South, class of 2007, football and basketball. Our next inductee from Bloomington North High School, class of 2008, track and field, the late Rachel Deloney. She was a three-time state champion in the discus, National Junior Olympics champion in the discus in 2005. Rachel, when she was competing, finished eighth at the state in the shot put in 2005 and never, ever lost a local meet in the discus event throughout her outstanding high school career. And to this day, still holds North and Conference Indiana records in the discus. She went on to Vincennes University and placed in two events at the 2011 National Junior College Finals, third in the discus, eighth in the shot. Unfortunately, we lost Rachel Deloney in the spring of April 2021. But a nice round of applause posthumously to be honored on the 14th of July at the Convention Center. Rachel Deloney, Bloomington North, class of 2008, track and field. Well, the Youngs make me look young. All I have to do is go back and remember watching JT and Paul wrestle at Bloomington South. We'll take the oldest first, huh? South class of 2001 wrestling. These guys didn't lose on the mats, plain and simple. JT was a two-time state champion. Undefeated his last 2 years, he was 84-0, winning as a 135-pounder in 2000 and a 140-pounder in 2001. He won the Mental Attitude Award winner that particular year given by the state. He finished eighth at the state as a freshman, and his overall record finished up at South 132-10. Stop and think about that. He graduated with honors, smart enough to go to Harvard to prove it, and then went on to study law at Indiana U. Assistant coach J.T. Young at Culver Academies, and also helps out at the Carmel Wrestling Club, still very much involved with the sport, a 2017 inductee into the Indiana High School Wrestling Hall of Fame, the older of the Youngs, J.T. Young, Bloomington South, class of 2001. Then how about Paul? 5 years later, he comes along. What did he do? All he did was win consecutive state titles at 160 pounds in 05 and 06, 97-1. His record the last 2 years. You add all of that up over the final 2 years of those kids' career, 181-1 between the Youngs. Paul capped a record senior year by going 49-0. He lettered 4 years at Indiana U and twice qualified for the NCAA as a junior, went 35-10, his record finishing fifth in the Big Ten at 165 pounds. He was ranked 12th nationally, and his 13 pins to this day, he did that in 2010, is still on Indiana's top 10 all-time list. He finished his career with 31 pins. That was ninth best in IU history. Went 35-10 as a sophomore. He placed seventh in the Big Ten. He was a Hoosier Pride winner his senior year for sacrifice and perseverance. Two words very closely associated with Paul Young. South High School graduate 2006, a two-time recipient of the Maurice Award for Leadership. Paul Young, South 2006 wrestling. And his older brother, J.T. Young, Bloomington South, to be inducted on July the 14th at the Monroe Convention Center, part of this outstanding class of 2023. Those are our six athletes. And before we do it, Garrett's sitting over there before he orders his dinner. Come on over here, Garrett Butcher. And I tell you, there are still so many doggone records that we can talk about. But I just want to get your feel. First of all, you are a success now with a managing partner of Simply Driven Executive Search up in Indianapolis. You got a great family. But I know if you can just give me some thoughts and reflections on going in with this class off of what your high school career meant to you, the town of Ellettsville, and the red and black overall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, you know, it's an honor. I'm excited to be here. It's an exciting group to be a part of. You know, you look at the names that have been inducted, you look at the class that I'm involved in, and you can't help but feel blessed and honored to be in a group of individuals like that. So I'm really excited. You know, it's something as you grow up as a kid, you know, you're out shooting buckets. It's not on the forefront of your mind as an eight-year-old in the driveway.
Right.
But as you get older, these things mean a lot. And, you know, I'm very excited and just – beyond kind of words to you know, be thankful for.
Well, you'll have 5.5 months to write up an outstanding acceptance speech, and you can talk as long as you want that night, young man. We were so proud of you. We mentioned the fact that you were Indiana All-Star. Certainly, that really had to cap off your high school career. But that you went on to Butler, and we've used a couple of words with other guys, you know, sacrifice and perseverance. You had that with your injuries, but you went on to Butler University. Talk about that and the fact that you got immediately a chance to play on the big stage, not only Hinkle Fieldhouse, but what Brad Stevens did with the Bulldogs, and you were part of that.
Yeah. I mean, if I look at my career at Butler, it didn't turn out from a personal standpoint how I thought it may have, and I tell people all the time, you know, if you look at my career from a personal standpoint, sure, not what I thought it was going to be. From a team standpoint or from an experience standpoint, I couldn't have gone anywhere else in the country and had a better experience. So, you know, if I'm going to take one versus the other, I'll take that team experience and the achievements we had of going to back-to-back Final Fours and national champ. I'll take that all day long. Over, you know, personal success.
You know, Coach Licklider was really the one, and I can remember him being some of at your games when we would broadcast the Edgewood games, and then Brad Stevens obviously coached you at Butler. But talk about the experience, Garrett, that you had as being, you know, captain your senior year and what that meant to you.
Yeah, it meant a lot as someone who didn't get a lot of playing time over the, you know, the course of my career to be voted captain as – you know, the other players on the team. That's that's something I was striving for as an individual, as a player, as a teammate. I wanted the coaches to view me as that type of leader within the team, and I wanted my, you know, my teammates to view me like that. So that was a huge honor for me and something that I took pride in as being a teammate and in the program over my 3 years, knowing that my role on the court was going to be limited due to my injuries.
Well, I tell you, it wasn't anything limited about your high school career, and it gave you a nice free ticket for a great education and now a very successful businessman in Indianapolis. We wish you the best. We'll see you 5 months in July. Garrett, thanks for dropping in. Richly deserved to be a member of this 2023 class.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Garrett Butcher, Edgewood class of 2008 in basketball. And when Good we job. Come back, we'll talk with Dan Burton. He's here tonight, and we talked about what he accomplished from Bloomington South all the way to Indiana University. And we'll be back. You're listening to the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame Announcement Show. It's the 10-member class of 2023 right here on Bloomington's Voice, 98.7 AM 1370 WGCL. We're live from Avers Public House. Welcome back, everyone. We're live tonight from Avers Public House here on College Mall Road. Joe Smith along with Kit Klingelhofer and all of our friends here who have gathered for the announcement class of 2023, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. You heard earlier from Garrett Butcher. If you just dialed us in, he along with Ben Chappell, Rachel Deloney, and the Youngs, J.T. Young and Paul Young, are athletes in this class of 2023. Joining us now, a young man that I saw compete as a high school Panther of Bloomington South, class of 1985, track and field, Dan Burton. I still call you Danny, but I'll go by Dan since we're official here tonight. But, hey, welcome. I know you still live here. And just thoughts and reflections on going in. You were coached by two great people in high school, Marshall Goss. Larry Williams was your jumps coach. And then the great legend himself, Sam Bell. Talk about that experience, Dan, and how it all got you going where you ended up.
Well, it's kind of funny, actually, because when I started, it was in eighth grade. Local people probably remember Dave Chaney. I went up and said, hey, I want to be a pole vaulter. He says, we got three. We don't need any more. You're a high jumper and a long jumper. So Terry Doherty took me to the side, got Terry me started. Doherty. Then Coach Goss took me in my freshman year, took me from 11-foot or 8-foot vaulter up to a 13-foot vaulter. Coach Goss then got the call by IU, moved over to coach at Indiana University as a jump coach, and then Larry Williams stepped in, still there yep. to this day. Great coach. I owe him a lot. He took time out of his life, traveled around during the summer to take me to competitions. I mean, Larry was the inspiration, the one that kept me going.
You know, you cleared, as I mentioned earlier, Dan, when we were listing your accomplishments, you cleared as a Panther 16-10, which was soaring at that particular year in 1985. Talk about how Larry helped you and how you developed a technique that got you lifted off the ground, on the pole, over the bar, and up and away you went.
Well, Joe, as you know, you were there, so you know I was 110 pounds, couldn't run that fast, and if the wind was blowing, I'm in trouble. Larry started as a newbie coach. Straight out of college, didn't know anything about the pole vault. And I think that's what really helped us the most is we learned together. He went to clinics on his off time and learned things, brought them back. And it was a trial and error. And you can't fight the fact that you have Indiana University, you had Coach Goss right across the street at the university. And then around the same time, you still had one of the best vaulters in the world, Dave Voles, who Monroe County guy. You know, he was jumping at the highest, you know, 19 foot back then, 18, 10 and a half, I think, an American record. So you had a lot of influence in this community in the pole vault, and a lot of young kids really aspired towards that.
No question about it. Talk to me a little, Dan, about that 1990 year under Sam Bell. You won the outdoor championship. But had you envisioned yourself becoming a champion, and where were you in your career when you went outdoors and won that championship in 90?
Well, when I entered the university in 85, I had already decided I was going to win the Big Ten champion indoor and outdoor every year. So I was way behind by the time I got to 90 and hadn't gotten one. Unfortunately, I got injured as a junior. I was out for a little while with a split pelvis. The trainers at the university got me back in shape, got me where they said I'd never walk right again, and then let alone again. We're sitting outdoor. It was my last chance, Joe, so it was either win or go home with my tail between my legs. I had 5 years and didn't do it until the last one, so it was do or die.
Well, you did, and the rest of them passed away, died, if you will. Your competition, that particular outdoor meet, where was that year in 90? Where'd you compete? Do you remember?
I believe that was in Illinois, maybe, and that the wind shift, there's a hog farm across the street, so it makes it a little bit worse.
Oh, yeah. That brings back some memories, doesn't it, Kit?
Yeah, sure does, Joe.
Yeah, it's right. It's just east of Memorial Stadium. Yeah,
east of something.
We know that quite well. Hey, look forward. What are you doing these days? I hear you're hotel managing?
I got the Hyatt Place downtown Bloomington. Okay. I'm the general manager. Been there for about 6 years. So we're trying to make something good out of Bloomington downtown, so come on down and see us, Joe.
No question about it. Dan Burton, we'll see you in July. And, again, a hearty congratulations becoming a member of this 2023 class so richly deserved.
I appreciate it, and it's a great honor. I appreciate you guys thinking of me.
Dan Burton, Bloomington South class of 85 track and field, joining us live. Well, as we went through our six athletes, and if you're just joining us, we're live tonight from Avers Public House. And again, as Kit mentioned earlier, our thanks to manager Chris Kaiser for letting us come in, and Noah setting up the gear, and Kit and I just wheeling away at what we like to do, and that's talk once in a while, Kitteroo. But we move into our coaches now, and what memories? We'll start with Georgia Tidd, volleyball, basketball, and track. Certainly, we look at what Georgia Tidd accomplished, one of the forerunners of female coaches at Bloomington High School, a leader when, if you remember correctly, when girls' sports were not part of the IHSAA. And she led a big fight to change all of that because she was a leader when the girls' sports became part of the association. She coached volleyball, basketball, track. Her volleyball teams made 3 state appearances, won 4 regionals and sectionals. Basketball honors included sectional and regional titles. Her track teams qualified many for state, winning the sectional and regional titles. The Marion L. Archer Award winner by the Indiana Coaches of Girls Sports Association in 1997. She received her bachelor and master's degrees from Indiana University, began teaching and coaching career at Monrovia up in Morgan County back in 1957 before she arrived at Bloomington High School in 1967. She championed stipends, too, for coaches as member of the North Central Evaluation Committee. And I know, be it male or female, coaches at that particular point in time, that was so important. And she was a forerunner as far as that was concerned as well. Georgia Tidd, not with us. She currently, Kit, she lives in Texas, but she will be joining us on July the 14th, a Friday night, circle it, at the convention center. Georgia Tidd, volleyball, basketball, track, one of the true forerunners of female coaches at Bloomington High School and Bloomington South. Another coach to be going in posthumously, as we lost Janine Butler this past January in 2023, sadly. But again, Janine, we look at what she accomplished, volleyball, basketball, track, not only at Bloomington North, but at U School. A native of Arkansas, she moved to Terre Haute, graduated from Indiana State. She played semi-pro basketball before beginning her teaching career in 1957. She continued the education then at IU. She earned there her master's and doctorate degrees. She taught and coached 26 years over in Ohio and in the state of Indiana. And as I mentioned, she coached volleyball, basketball, and track in University High School in Bloomington North. That 79 Lady Cougar basketball team won the sectional and regional, earning her Hoosier Hills Coach of the Year honors. And she finished with a coaching record of 115 Bloomington North the girls' victories. She coached 2 All-State Division I basketball players. She was inducted, Janine was, into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame back in 06 and went on to serve on the Monroe County Community School Corporation Board and the Bloomington Historic Preservation Committee until her untimely passing this past January in 2023. But Janine Butler will have her night, along with Georgia Tidd, two of the forerunners of female coaches at Bloomington High School, Bloomington North U School, and Bloomington University School as well, as we say, and welcome into the hall Janine Butler and Georgia Tidd. Our contributors are a couple of men have a lot of respect for. And we talk a little about a man that meant so much to the youth of this community, and that is Thornton Henry. We all called him and loved him as Bud Damon, who for over three decades was a leader for youth baseball here in our county, and many as the president. I can remember in the old days, Bud hanging out, getting all the scores, and sticking them in the mailbox at the old Alamo down on South Walnut Street. We have a field over at Winslow that's named after him, an annual youth baseball festival, the Bud Damon Jamboree, still honors him. Bud Damon devoted many, many countless hours to other community services, serving as a driver for the Veterans Association and the American Red Cross, also a regular contributor to the Red Cross Blood Bank. Heck, he donated over his life over 16 gallons of his own blood through the years. Bud Damon was a member of the University Baptist Church, recognized by the Bloomington Exchange Club for his volunteer efforts with the Book of Golden Deeds Award. Bud was a World War II veteran. He graduated from Sioux Falls College in 1949 and named Student of the Year. Bud Damon left us in 2004 at the age of 83. But Bud Damon, one of our two contributors, to be enshrined into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame on Friday night, July the 14th, at the Convention Center. Very well-deserved honor for Bud Damon. Our next young man, and it just it's hard to fathom how fast four decades and 40 years can fly. For this native of Du Bois County in Jasper, Indiana, Mick Renhuizen, a 40-year employee of the city of Bloomington, 20 years as the director of the Bloomington Parks and Rec, and, of course, recently five-plus years as deputy mayor of our city. Mick had a lot to do behind the scenes, bringing state, regional, national softball tournaments to this county. Think about the crowds. Think about the extra money into the coffers. Mick served in leadership roles with Amateur Softball Association, the ASA, including being its state commissioner. Mick served in that post for 8 years and served on the National Board of Directors for another seven. As Director of Parks and Rec, he won the 2007 National Gold Medal Award for Excellence and was the 2011 Professional of the Year as voted by the Indiana Parks and Recreation Association. Mick Renhuizen, throughout his career, oversaw the expansion of, and we can just list it, the Cascades Golf Course, the acquisition, if you will, of Twin Lakes and the Sportsplex out on the west side, the construction of the Beeline Trail, the Clear Creek Trail, the Jackson Creek Trail, the Miller Showers Park, the Cascade Skate Park, formerly Upper Cascade, the Alcott Community Park, and Leonard Springs Nature Park projects as well. Mick still serves on the IU men's basketball and football game day stat crews. He's been doing that since 1982, along with Steve Hitzman and John Decker. And those three annually go out to the Maui Invitational, where they've been and served there since 1995. He's currently the press box announcer for Indiana football. He was a high school official, not only in baseball, but football and basketball. He did that for 20 years. He was inducted into the Softball Halls of Fame at all three levels, local, state, and national. Retired as deputy mayor here not long ago under John Hamilton in 2019 with honors. The Lifetime Achievement Awards from the Bloomington Chamber of Commerce as well and the Indiana Parks and Rec. That name associated with Mick Renhuizen, who we recognize tonight going in as our second contributor into the 2023 class of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Mr. Renice, you can bring your drink over. I tell you what, not listed on here, a little disappointing. You served with me for a number of years doing high school football, and mentioning 40 years, Mick, it'll be 40 years on a cold night that you and I spent down in Newburgh in Paradise. The miracle in Paradise unfolded in front of our eyes. And we'll start with that. I like to talk about that because that was a great experience, not only for you as my color guy, but me as broadcasting, and we stayed on the air.
That was very unique, wasn't it? We had an opportunity to call a game where everybody else that was media there, the radio and TV stations, went off the air and thought the game was over. And if you can remember back that far, remember when the California band came on the field? That's exactly the same thing that happened in Newburgh and in Castle against Bloomington South. And sure enough, the player that was running it back was Brad Jackson.
Yep,
running
sure
it
was.
Back. He was weaving through people on the field, and I'm looking at the officials, having been one, and said, they're running along by the side. This game's not over. It's the California play. It's the California play. So that was a very memorable part of my short broadcasting career with you, Joe.
Into the end zone Brad went, and to this day, the game was over if you talk to Joe Huff, one of our good friends. And that was the only game in his entire career before he walked on and made a scholarship at Indiana U playing for Coach Mal. That was the only game he lost in his entire career. Life in football. Well, it's been a grand life for you and a great run. I can remember when you started as director of sports. I remember with the little office there on 6th Street, Bill Wilson, Dorothy Stancomb, two great people worked in that office. You had a lot of great people that worked under you over the years. But just some thoughts and comments, Mick, on your career and how you've served the city and how very much sports for the kids, for the adults, has been so such an integral part for you.
Well, thanks, first of all, to the board. Congratulations to all the other athletes and nominees. It's always kind of odd and feels a little different for me as a contributor, or probably anybody else that's been inducted into a Hall of Fame as a contributor, knowing we didn't do what you all did. We were not that kind of athlete. I made a lot of teams in high school. That's all I did. I made the team. And that was, that passion for sport never left me. So when I came to IU, I really wanted to coach basketball. And I took Coach Knight's class. I was a PE major. Greer and some others in here will remember that. And I absolutely wanted to coach. So it was an accidental entry into the field of parks and recreation. I graduated in 79 with a degree in teaching and coaching. And that wasn't a good year to graduate with a teaching degree. So I stayed in the community. I had been officiating. I went to grad school. I thought I might want to do some radio and television, hence the reason you and I connected during that era. And there was a little network called ESPN that was just starting, and I kind of missed the window on that one too. But I got a job offer from Parks and Recreation just by happenstance, and I took a week or so to tell Norm Merrifield, who many people in this community will remember, I'm not sure I want to do this. It's never something that entered my mind. Well, fortunately, I did. And it allowed me to be involved in sport in a different way. Sport in terms of organization, administration, construction of facilities like Twin Lakes, like you mentioned, and expanding the golf course and doing a lot of things I never dreamed I'd have a chance to do.
You know, you said you wanted to coach at one time, but yet, Mick, in all that you have done with the establishment of the new venues around the county, you've impacted so many lives, kids that play endless hours, be it softball, male, female, adults, church leagues. I mean, that has to be so rewarding for you.
Yeah, I really think it is humbling when you put something together. And just so everybody understands, there's a whole lot of people that go into putting something together that's a new facility or a league or anything. It's not one person ever. And I was fortunate to have a lot of good people around me, people that cared about it, wanted to do it, community members that supported what we were doing. You don't get the funding to do the asset construction we did without a community that obviously cares about sport like Bloomington does. So that made my life and my job a lot easier. And the best reward is watching people participate on an asset that you helped get constructed. And when we went out to build Twin Lakes, this was in the late 80s, we were looking for land to do it. Most people thought we were nuts because we were doing it in a lake that had been drained that used to be a city water source. But the engineers convinced us we could build it, and there wasn't really any other place to put something that had the sort of qualifications we were looking for a national venue. You had to be near a major interstate. You had to be close enough to an airport, Indianapolis, obviously being our airport that we would tout as the regional way to get to Bloomington for national tournaments. Hotels, Dan's managing one. He's managed them for a long time, and we work with close partnership with all of our hoteliers, visit people that helped us promote that. But constructing it, I toured a number of facilities as an amateur player myself when I was playing, and we toured some national award-winning facilities before we built Twin Lakes. And it may not sound like much money today, but back in 1992, $2 million to build a sports complex was a lot of money.
Yeah.
It probably would cost us $20 million to build that same thing today. So we built that with the hope that we could attract exactly what happened. I lost count at 35 national tournaments, but somewhere along the way, before I became deputy mayor, we were right around 35 national tournaments. And those 35 national tournaments had generated over $35 million in economic impact for our community. So that got me into softball on a national level, and I was able to participate in some great things, including selecting the women's national team, a couple of gold medal winning teams there, and participated in setting our standards with Sandy Searcy, who's on that committee, the Testing and Equipment Standards Committee, and met some great friends from around the country as a result of, again, being involved in sport and having a passion for it.
We go back enough years, 40-plus, knowing you as a friend and a contact on the local sports beat. I remember the first time you went out to try to sell a national tournament. I forget where you were going. I think it was Salt Lake or Atlanta or somewhere. But anyway, I was so impressed with how you went out, you and your group from Bloomington. And you had a good feel for the community then. But what was the selling point? What sold the national people, unknown to Bloomington, maybe outside of Indiana University? What sold the fact to bring home the monies eventually and these quality tournaments for young kids, both boys and girls?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. And Twin Lakes didn't open until 93, so all we had were schematics of what the facility was going to look like. When we bid in 1991, it was Palm Springs, California. And I was working closely with Valerie Pena, then the Visit Bloomington director, and you know, entrusted her staff and their expertise to put together kind of the booth and the things that would get people familiar with Bloomington. So we clearly used the identity of IU, and Coach Knight was our coach then, so we had a big picture of him and in our booth. Well, everybody knew who he was, so we had all these people come to our booth. There are 1,000 people that go to these national softball meetings in that era. And we, besides having that, you know, kind of entrance of getting Coach Knight's picture behind, people would take pictures with Coach Knight emblem behind them, stand-up emblem behind them. We convinced them that Indiana, and Bloomington in particular, was a world-class sports town, and that we could have any activity we have here. We have the benefit of having people who knew how to run events. IU, the county, the city, had this history and tradition of being able to do it. And we used the coin phrase, Hoosier hospitality. And so once you get your first tournament, anyone after that has to be based on your evaluations. Well, we won an award of excellence, our first event, and that just kind of set the tone for us being able to get them year after year after year. Once people got here, they found out what we promised we delivered.
And it became, this is how they do it. They do it well, and we have to model what we want to do after Bloomington, Indiana. Well, Mick, it's been a great association knowing you, and obviously many more years on our kitten me. We served as teammates on several softball teams as well over the years, and the basketball team doing great. I know that mentioning teams, and I mentioned Steve Hitzman, I mentioned John Decker, and you guys have been together for 30 plus years or going on that. And again, that is not an easy chore. You got a great seat, I might add, but this season, both sports, and we applaud the women for the Big Ten championship, but the men, still going strong.
Well, if in 40 years of games I've watched from the court, thanks to you and Kit, both of you had a hand in allowing me the opportunity to do statistics, because there is no course for training you how to do that, by the way. Everybody always asks me that. How do you get that job? Where did you go to learn about it? And I said, well, I was an official, so I knew the rules. And I played well enough to understand some of the nuance of the sport. And I broadcast with you, Joe, which helped me see the game and keep statistics by myself to help you, you know, augment what you were saying for our high school games that we did together. And all that contributed to being able to do stats. And then you just don't mess it up, right? And that's why once we got the gig in Maui, we're like, well, let's not mess this up. And so 25 years later, 25 one-year contracts, yeah. Now 27 one-year contracts later, yeah. We're still going to Maui. So I feel really blessed and lucky, and I would add this honor right up at the top.
Well, I was there five different times to see you in Maui, so you know, you did a heck of a job, and you're still there doing a great job. And friend, it's just great to have you in the Hall of Fame, and we look forward to seeing you again in July the 14th with you and your family on your special night as a member of the 2023 class of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Mick Renneisen.
Thank you.
Well, that is about going to do it for tonight. Mick Renneisen, Bud Damon, our contributors, Georgia Tidd, Janine Butler, our coaches, Garrett Butcher, Dan Burton live with us earlier tonight, Ben Chappell, Rachel Deloney, and the young wrestling brothers, JT and Paul Young of Bloomington South High School. Kid, it's a great class. Should people and by the way, we'll, a quick plug for our Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame website.
Monroe County, SHOF.org. Again, Monroe County, SHOF.org. And, you know, Joe, I'm sure anybody that is listening tonight, when they come to the banquet, which hopefully they will again on July 14th at the convention center, you can go to our site and get tickets. You can learn a lot more about the Hall of Fame. But I'm sure anybody listening tonight or who come and say, what took so long for these people to get in here? Well, that's what we go through every year in picking our class, because there are so many deserving people in all categories. And I might add, there's no shortage of great, great candidates coming up.
No, there isn't. And you can see them live again at the Convention Center on Friday, July the 14th. That's about going to do it for Noah Jordan and Mike Glasscott, our producers. You've been listening to the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame Announcement Show, the 10-member class of 2023, right here on Bloomington's Voice, 98.7 AM 1370 WGCL. We have been live on this Tuesday night from Avers Public House. Good night, everyone.